From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, the Russian River is now back within its banks, and Sonoma County officials say they'll try to lift their evacuation orders today to allow those who left as floodwaters rose to return home and survey the damage. We look at what lies ahead. Then, at 10:30, the co-creators and co-hosts of the hit podcast Ear Hustle, Earlonne Woods and Nigel Poor, join us in studio. For three seasons, they've been telling us what life is really like inside San Quentin State Prison. Then last November, Earlonne Woods gained his freedom. We'll hear what life's been like on the outside. Join us. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency in Sonoma, Mendocino, Lake, Glenn, and Amador counties due to flooding. In Humboldt County, a Ferndale man died while trying to navigate floodwaters to get three kids who were trapped in a house. We look at the impact of this week's floods in Northern California and find out what's next for communities along the Russian River, where more than 3,000 people were evacuated earlier in the week. Joining me is Dan Brecky. He's an editor and reporter for KQED News who has been monitoring this all week. And before we go to the Russian River, Dan, what can you tell us about the father who died in Ferndale? Because we had not been hearing that much about the Eel River.
So this came from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. What they had during some pretty severe flooding on the Eel River up there was rapidly rising water. And this father was trying to get to his home through about 5 feet of water and encountered difficulty. Three people on a tractor drove through the floodwater to try to save him. They lost sight of him. Now they were in distress. Helicopter rescues were necessary for both the people on the tractor and for the three children who were in this home the original man was trying to reach. And so they were saved. Unfortunately, this gentleman was lost in the flood.
The Russian River receded back within its banks at about what time?
Well, it's been dropping about a foot every 2 hours through the overnight hours, and actually right around now, it's probably right at 32 feet, which is the official flood stage.
And for people there, what injuries have you heard about, if any, and what are they seeing now as the waters have now pulled back in?
Well, the issue actually with the water is it doesn't magically go away. I mean, the river falls to, you know, is falling within its banks now, but there's lots of standing water on the ground, and there's really nowhere for that to go. So in terms of injuries, there haven't been any reported. There were about 60 rescues that were carried out by the National Guard during this incident the last couple of days. All that seemed to go off without a hitch. The big problem is, you know, the floodwaters are badly polluted with everything from raw sewage to fuel, and there have been concerns about people waiting in that, and that standing water is going to be an issue for some time to come.
What can you tell us more about this sewage? How there were significant sewage overflows during this.
Well, that was in another part of Sonoma County, Sonoma Valley County Sanitation District, which is down, you know, around the town of Sonoma. But in the Russian River area, a lot of people have septic systems, and those are vulnerable to leaking during a flood event like this.
Well, in terms of it's quite miraculous that there weren't more injuries, given what we heard about the man in Ferndale, whose name has not still yet been released.
Right.
And but there, this, as we reported, is something that communities like Guerneville, like Monterio, have seen in terms of flooding in the past. Can you just take us through how it compares with flooding from previous years? Because while we are hearing that, you know, they have experienced this before, there have been some reports for some people that it's the worst they've ever seen in terms of damage.
It's definitely the worst in a generation. I mean, the last time they had a flood of this magnitude was back in the 90s. And the last one that was higher than this was in 1995. Both 1986, the President's Day storm, and then again, coincidentally, in February. So there's a theme there, February storms, February 95. They had really destructive, catastrophic flooding that in one case, in the town of Monte Rio, there were fears that maybe that town wouldn't come back. The damage was so bad. So I don't know that we're at that level. I mean, there's definitely damage, but this wasn't, you know, this wasn't like a community-ending type flood.
And again, Dan Brecke is KQED editor and reporter. We are now starting to assess the damage that the floodwaters left behind, and we're talking about how there was damage along the Russian River, which has now receded below flood stage. What are your questions for Dan Brecke about the cleanup effort, about the floods this week? The number here, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can email us, forum at kqed.org. Post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, on Facebook or on Twitter. This is a half-hour segment, so the time to get your calls in is now. We're going to go to Adia White. She's a reporter at Northern California Public Media. Adia White, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
And I understand that you were at the evacuation in Santa Rosa. Can you tell us, are people still there? What is it like?
Yes, so people are still there. At the evacuation shelter in Santa Rosa, most of those folks took a bus from Guerneville from the Veterans Memorial Center, which is actually usually used as a shelter in Guerneville during flooding. But because this flooding was so severe, they had to bus everyone out of Guerneville. So these folks are really waiting for those evacuation orders to get lifted so that they can go back into Guerneville. And the majority were actually staying at emergency homeless shelters set up there. So a lot of these folks don't really have anywhere to go back to other than that shelter in Guerneville.
We'd heard noon as a potential time that the evacuation orders could be lifted today. Are you hearing anything different?
Noon is when they're hoping to lift those evacuation orders, but I just talked to the Emergency Operations Center, and they're still waiting to see the river hit 32 feet. It's kind of just above that right now. So once it hits that ideal number, 32 feet, they'll, again, assess the safety of the roads, assess all the water that's still remaining in Guerneville, and they'll kind of have to make that decision from there. So although they're hoping for noon, they're not ready to commit to that yet.
And the general public will be allowed into those areas about when, do you think?
Saturday is the day I'm seeing for the general public, although residents will be able to get in hopefully this afternoon. They don't want folks that don't need to be there in until Saturday.
And before I let you go, I know you said everybody's just waiting for those evacuation orders to be lifted, but do you want to say anything about just the kind of state of mind that people are in or the mood there?
Yeah, I think most people are really just hoping to see what they're going to return to. There's definitely a lot of concern about what Guerneville will look like, a lot of confusion about what they'll be returning to. A few of these folks were not from the Guerneville area originally, so I think they're pretty shocked at what the potential for this river can do. I also talked to a man who had been living in and out of Guerneville for a while, and the last time he was there actually was in 1995 during that flood that hit 48 feet, and he saw a lot of those FEMA rescues that happened then, and he's really concerned about how severe this is going to be considering what he saw last time.
Adia White, she's a reporter with Northern California Public Media. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to go now to Jerry Knight. He's the owner of the Historic River Theater in Guerneville. Hello, Jerry Knight.
Oh, good morning to you, and thank you very much for the bright spirit on a dark day.
Well, I'm glad that we are a bright spirit. How are you doing? How's the theater? What's its state right now?
It's pretty much flooded here. There's still a lot of flooding going on, and I doubt that you'll be able to get in here, even residents out, probably maybe after 12 today. It is possible, but there's quite a bit of water and damage left here in the town.
So you decided to stay as the floodwaters were rising?
Oh, yes, I did. I actually have the tallest building in town here, and we've had water come in from the back, go right out through the front door. In fact, it's catastrophic. I have two properties here, and I have a property on the east side of Highway 116, and it's almost totally engulfed in water. Mm. Catastrophic flooding for a lot of people.
At one point, I heard you described your theater as a swimming pool. What were you looking at?
Well, I was looking at the dance floor, and I was trying to just bring up the spirits here, saying that we're probably the only theater in the world that has a seasonal swimming pool in front of the dance floor. the water was so dark and dirty, no suit required because you couldn't see 2 inches below the water. It was pretty bad.
Do you have flood insurance?
No. There's a lot of people here who have a conception that it's payday for the residents and the businesses. But to give you an idea, just even for a small house, the insurance can be up $22,000 or more per year. And for me, it's catastrophic. I'm looking at $50,000-$60,000 a year for insurance. And you can't really afford to do that, especially after a couple of years. And you wonder if you can recover. I'm also a licensed contractor, so I try to evaluate doing it myself. And I don't think anybody expected the damage to come through like it did. But we're completely inundated over the top of the stage. And in fact, I've got a full-size pink elephant standing on a pool table up on our upper floor.
That is quite an image. And despite all this, your spirits seem quite high. Speaking of high spirits, how are you able to keep those spirits so high, and what are you doing to start the cleanup process at this point?
Well, I'm old for one, so I look at every day as a gift. I'm 73 this year, and we've had a lot of good talent come through here. We've just had Taj Mahal come through here on a fundraising for Lazy Lester, and we had Taj Mahal, Country Joe, McDonald came out of retirement, Charlie Musselwhite, Lester Chambers from the Chambers Brothers, and Mark Hummel, and we raised $10,000 for Lazy Lester's widow just in November 29th. And it's still a venue that we have a lot of fun things. We had David Nelson Band in for New Year's. We have the Jerry Garcia Band and Melvin Seals in every year for Halloween. And I'm not giving up. You know, I'm a disabled vet. I do veterans internship here.
And so the business, it sounds like, will keep going. Forgive me,
we'll
keep going.
I don't have a choice. You know, when you're old like I am and you get to visit the people that come through here. I mean, I'm not into politics, but we've had Madam Speaker Pelosi come through with Andy Samberg, Fred Armisen. We've had Leslie Jordan from Will and Grace. Lily Tomlin got her start here at the River Theater, and we've had Metallica in here, Chris Isaac, Tupac Shakur used to come in every Sunday. It's a gift to the country here and to our community, and it's a musical place. You can go online, Jerry Knight, River Theater, Facebook it. You can check out some of the shows. That's a promotion.
Glad to hear it will go on, and thanks for talking with us. Best of luck to you.
You know what? God bless you guys, because without people knowing, everybody's wondering. But the residents here were tough, but I think the best part about this, if there is a bright ray, is that it brings out the best in people, because we're all working to help each other, just like you are in bringing awareness. So I very much appreciate it. And thank you very much for your listeners and public radio. I believe that's what you're on. Are you public radio?
Yes, we are.
You know what? I've worked on a lot of public events. You know, I've been in the business since 1968. Thank you for taking the time to let people know.
Thank you, Jerry Knight.
God bless you. Take care.
Well, let's hear from somebody else at the Russian River. Wolfgang, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. I'm at 65 feet, so I'm fortunate that I'm not down in the flood zone, but I'm very, very close to it. I've been cut off for a number of days now, and it affects everybody in the area, whether you're flooded or not. I run a vacation rental property. I've lost many hundreds of dollars because people can't get here to enjoy their vacations. We have a raging creek in our backyard that feeds the Russian River, and I was on a creek watch all night on Tuesday night when it peaked at 10 o'clock. If the creek had breached, it would have been catastrophic for our local neighborhood. Meantime, I went down into the town, and I kayaked the entire town of Guerneville, going over the tops of cars, kayaking up to the door at Safeway and the post office, and the water extended for as far as the eye could see in my kayak, and the kayak itself, the river itself looked just like the Amazon in pictures of South America. It was really quite amazing, and like Jerry Knight was just saying, the people on the street are in fairly ebullient moods because a catastrophe, for whatever reason, brings out the best in the human race, and maybe that's why we've succeeded down throughout history to this point. I do want to point out that humans did terraform the Russian River area many, many, many generations ago. The Russian River River used to fill up in the summertime in the historical perspective and filled up a giant bayou because it would not empty into the ocean, except that the Army Corps of Engineers in the summer, sometimes several times in the summer, let the water out to the ocean. So we have terraformed the Russian River area to a place where we keep the river emptying, but when Mother Nature dumps these rivers of atmospheric rivers on us, the Russian River tends to go back to its historical bayou condition, and that's what we're at now.
Well, Wolfgang, thanks for giving us that report. We appreciate it, and best of luck to you as well. We're joined now by Lori Austin. She's the owner and curator of Lori Austin Gallery in Sebastopol. Good morning.
Good morning, Nina.
Tell us about Sebastopol. What happened?
Well, what happened
to your
was,
gallery?
Well, my gallery is located in the Barlow, which is a 12-acre outdoor marketplace, and we were just completely shocked that the flooding was so extensive. We were aware and alerted that there could be flooding on one side of the complex, but it all just happened so quickly. And 2 days ago, you could kayak through the entire property.
And why did it take you by surprise? Were the warnings not quite accurate in terms of the predictions of what impact it would have in the Barlow?
Well, according to management, it looked like it was only going to affect that one portion of the property. And so we just didn't have warning to take any preventative measures. This is, you know, I'm a brand new tenant. I only opened in October of last year. So this is the first time that I've ever faced this, you know, these types of conditions there.
Will you be able to stay open?
Well, the Barlow is closed for cleanup and repair. Our plan is to reopen as quickly as possible. Some of the businesses were completely devastated, you know, with more than 4 feet of water. It is an extremely unfortunate situation as it is for, you know, our neighbors in Guerneville and all over Sonoma County.
So you believe you will weather this, for lack of a better word, but I just am curious if you've calculated what it might cost you. I'm just trying to get a sense of the economic impact.
For me personally, for my business, probably several thousand dollars. For other businesses, it's an unimaginable amount of money that it will take. They've one business I know lost over $100,000 worth of inventory. That is extremely hard to recover from. But, you know, we're an optimistic community of artists and makers and entrepreneurs, and we're going to do everything that we can to get back on our feet and support each other going forward.
Well, Lori Austin, thank you for talking with us. Lori Austin, owner, curator of Lori Austin Gallery in Sebastopol. Dan Brecky, there was a flood plan or some flood work done in the Barlow area, is my understanding?
You know, I'm not for the Barlow?
I'm
not really familiar with that, but here's one thing that does come up here. The amount of rainfall that this area got was utterly phenomenal. There's one point that people talk about west of Healdsburg that got 21 inches of rain over 2 days earlier this week. In February, it got 43 inches all told. And so this storm landed on top of saturated soil, and a lot of the tributaries to the Russian River also flooded much more severely than typical, because they had no way to empty into the main stem of the river. So that's, you know, these huge surprise floods that happen in some areas and a lot of the damage throughout the county, especially to the roads, I mean, is really the result of a huge, unusual event.
You're talking about saturated soils. Now there's supposed to be more rain this weekend. How concerned should people in this area be?
This doesn't look like a big storm this weekend. It looks like the main focus of this will be to the south. And then there is another storm coming earlier next week that will probably bring more rain to the Sonoma County area, you know, north of the Golden Gate in general, North Bay. Again, it doesn't look at this point like the main focus of that storm will be up here. It'll be farther south.
What about the state of the reservoirs? Aren't there two main reservoirs around the Russian River?
There's Lake Sonoma and, I'm going to forget the other one, Lake Mendocino, I believe. And, yeah, you know, those are at very healthy levels. I mean, usually we're in a regime where we're worried about not having enough water. That's not an issue this year.
Well, Susan writes, I've lived in Guerneville and Forestville where I experienced flooding. I feel strongly that if people are told to evacuate from fire or flood and choose not to follow instructions, there ought to be a charge if they need to be rescued later.
Well, you know, every time we see an evacuation order happen in something like this, and I think people are taking them more seriously in fires, but you'll have people stay behind. And the Sonoma County Sheriff was saying on the night before the flood, you know, really hit, that there were some people flat out refusing to leave. And we've seen all the pictures of people in kayaks. Those are some of the people who wouldn't go.
And Heather writes, my grandparents took photos in the 1920s of their Guerneville house flooded. How often has the Russian River flooded over the past several decades?
You know, it floods a lot, and usually it's not a big deal. It's a big deal for somebody anytime it comes up, but usually it's very contained. So, for instance, it flooded 2 weeks ago, and while, you know, low-lying areas got swamped, it wasn't a big news story. This flood came up about 10 feet higher than that earlier one a couple weeks ago. And of course, as we're hearing from people, the effects along the river have been catastrophic for a lot of people.
Well, in terms of the actual cleanup effort, can you just walk us through what are some of the biggest concerns that people have and kind of how this will play out?
Well, you know, usually when a property becomes inundated, like, you know, we had Jerry Knight talking about his theater, you know, you basically have to gut and rebuild things. And so that's what people are facing. There's a huge construction mess ahead.
Yes, debris on the roadways, fallen trees,
yes, exactly.
Downed power lines,
right.
And things like that.
Right.
And finally, Heather wants to know, what should new home buyers look for in terms of flood risk? Are the flood maps changing?
Flood maps may be changing, but, you know, flood risk in this watershed is a well-known problem. So everybody should be on the checklist for everybody, is to look where they are in terms of the floodplain.
And this listener says drinking water safety?
You know, I can't give a specific answer. My assumption would be that it's going to be a while before potable water is available in the public water system.
KQED's Dan Borecki. He's an editor and reporter for KQED News. Thanks so much, Dan.
You're welcome.
Up next, we'll be talking with the co-creators of Ear Hustle, so stay with us for that. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.